Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Oh, do that again. Every week they get better and better at that.
Well, I guess they get better, more practice than the rest of us.
Yeah. the other night I was thinking about that, about how we said on the one show, we got into the whole screaming thing. I said, yeah, I'm a screamer, and I was like, oh, how bad that sounded. And so I'm sitting all by myself, and I start laughing about that, thinking about it. I'm like, oh, my God, my show's starting to get to me, that I'm actually playing it in my head. Anyway, moving along. How you doing, Brian?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I should mention to people that tonight we are recording the show, first ever for our podcast, on location on an investigation.
Dun, dun, dun.
And where are we?
Cape May.
I know. Now, Cape May, for those of you who have never been here, it's just totally Victorian. It's just this beautiful, like, one Victorian house after another, with the gingerbread lattice work and the spires and the beautiful colors and multi-paint jobs. It's my favorite of all kinds of house architecture. I've always wanted a Victorian home. And like I was telling Brian earlier, I said, the first apartment I had was in the third floor of a Victorian, and we had 11-foot ceilings and gigantic. The only room that was tiny was the kitchen, the one room I need to be in the most, but everything else was gigantic. Our bathroom was 10 by 14. Our living room was 14 by 18. We had a huge dining room, huge bedroom. I mean, it was like massive, this apartment. So.
And again, this is the Paranormal Podcast, not the Home Shopping Network.
Yeah, HGTV. But anyway, so we're here in a beautiful little Victorian home in Cape May, where they've had a ton of activity, which we will get to in our parishare. Okay, but I just want to say thank you so much to the homeowner who has, contacted us from a friend of a friend and checked out our website and brought us in to investigate. So we'll get to that in parishares. But just so you know, that's where we're at tonight. So anyway, here's the meeting announcements. Just bear in mind that all meetings start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. They are free and open to the public to attend. You do not need to be a member of the NJGHS to show up at a meeting. If you want to just check it out to see if it's good for you, check it out. Okay? If you want to become a member, it's only $20 lifetime, and you can do that through PayPal on our website, or you can sign up right there at one of the meetings. When I say meetings, I mean three. We have three a month. We have one in the central area of New Jersey. That's the Central Jersey Division, headed up by Gregory and Sherry Irish. And their meeting takes place every first Wednesday of the month. And the next one will be March 7th in the Hazlitt Library, which is located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. And after that is the Northwest Division, which is mine. That's on March 20th at 293 Main Street. Oh, good. That gives me a couple days after St. Patrick's Day to recoup. Because, dude, St. Patty's Day this year is on a Saturday. Okay, so I get to go to the Fest for Beatle fans on Friday night on the 16th, which is awesome. And then Saturday is St. Patrick's Day. Awesome.
You're digressing again.
I know, but I'm just saying, but March 20th is the Hackettstown meeting, which I lead, so it gives me 3 days to kind of recover from March. Anyway, and the March 20th meeting in Hackettstown is located in the community center at 293 Main Street in the Blue Room. And after that is the Northeast Division, which is headed up by Laura Lindemann, our team leader. And her meeting is held in the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. And don't forget, this coming Monday, I will be at the Clark Library at 7 o'clock presenting, Paranormal Investigating, Capturing Ghost Pictures and Voices. So you'll get to hear some really cool EVPs that were played when I was on the radio show with Alan David Stein on New Jersey 101.5 a couple years ago. And, so you'll get to hear that and see the different pictures and learn. Basically, by the time you're done with this presentation, you have a certification as 101, Ghost Hunting 101. And so I'll be doing that. And then don't forget, free admission to the Haunting of Danbury House premiere, and it's set for Sunday, March 11th at 2 o'clock at the Bloomfield College, their Van Fossen Theater, which is located on the corner of Fremont and Franklin Streets in Bloomfield. So make sure you check that out. Hey, we have a new contest. Now's your chance to win admission to the Ghost World Conference. You can attend the Ghost World Conference in July at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All you have to do is record yourself telling or reading your favorite ghost story or experience. This can be from a published work or from one of your own investigations. Now, you can be as dramatic and creative as you want. In fact, the more the better. We're not looking for the humdrum read here, people. Come on, it's a podcast after all. We need the story to come alive for the listeners. You're not allowed to make up a ghost story or experience. Again, you can tell one that you sincerely experienced or one that is published in a book or article somewhere that you claim is your favorite of all time. Don't worry if we receive the same story from more than one person. Again, your creative and dramatic approach to the telling of the story is what will win you the votes. That's right, votes. In keeping with the American Idol approach, we will let our listeners decide on whose story and its telling is the best, and therefore who deserves to go to Ghost World Conference. Submit your recording no later than May 15, 2072, the deadline, at njghs.net. If the file is too big to email, then burn it off to a CD and snail mail it to The Deadline, P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Brian and I will review these recordings and play them on the show as well. We will narrow it down to the top five and place those recordings on the deadline page of the NJGHS website for voting. The voting will be from June 1st to 15th and the winner announced on the June 22nd podcast. In addition to admission to the Ghost World Conference, the winner will receive an NJGHS gift basket, including a bumper sticker, t-shirt, baseball hat, and an autographed copy of The Ghosts of Gettysburg by Mark Nesbitt. Winner is responsible for all costs. This is including travel, lodging, meals, expenses incurred while at the conference. Basically, we get you there, people. That's it. Okay, a room will be held at the Ghost World Conference rate of $119 at the Wyndham Gateway Gettysburg, but the winner is responsible for payment of this cost. Even if you have already registered for the conference, you may enter this contest. If you win, your registration fee will be refunded to you by the NJGHS, and you will get the basket of goodies as specified prior. So get to it. Record your MP3 or WAV file and email it or snail mail it to the deadline. All these details will be on the NJGHS.net website. Good luck. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, I'm Doug of Ghostly Talk, and you're listening to the Deadline Podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hey, welcome back to The Deadline. It's time for Parashare. Now, this week we have a very special situation because, as I mentioned earlier, we are here on location in Cape May in a haunted Victorian. Now, our investigation is to find out whether or not it is truly haunted, but there have been some significant experiences over the years. The team that's here tonight, well, of course, Brian, our tech guru here and producer of The Deadline, is here, and I'm here. But one of our very first certified paranormal investigators certification program at Eastern State Penitentiary, Ron Armstrong, is here with us tonight.
Hello, everyone.
Yay. So that's it. There's a team of three of us here, but I think, the house is, it's a good-sized house. There's like seven bedrooms and, what, four bathrooms? I mean, there's...
And a park.
Yeah. But, I think we'll have it pretty well covered because even if we physically can't be somewhere, we do have the equipment to cover. So let me give you a little history on this. This house was originally built in the 1830s, and it was a simple cottage. And in 1863, they added on the front portion. The house itself goes up about three stories. It does have a basement, but it's not finished. It's got a dirt floor, and it's pretty creepy looking, so I'm not going down there. Let's see. They've had... the current owner purchased this home back in 1996. And here's some neat things to note about the activity. There's some scratches, and I took a picture of this. Scratches on the door behind me where I'm sitting. We're in the kitchen. And this is the door that leads to the basement. And the owner said they've just given up because over the years, you know, these scratches would be there. And they thought, what, that was their dog doing or something. But then it would happen even when the dog wasn't here. And they would sand and paint and repair it, and then it would come back. And they fixed it so many times they gave up. They said they gave up on having an answering machine in the house because they would come and play the messages and there would be all these thunder noises and static recordings, right?
Yep.
Jump in any time, guys. And I don't know what this...
Dead hair. I know.
I'm looking at the notes. That's pretty cool about the paisley eyes. She said, see, here, listen to this. There were constant paw indentations on the bedspreads. They have a ghost cat in this house. One contractor chased the cat through the house. We found claw scratch marks on the newly painted basement door that I told you about. The door was repainted and the scratch marks appeared again. Of course, we thought it was a real cat we were dealing with. One guest sleeping in the pink bedroom awoke to the cat on her feet. She kicked her legs and the cat jumped from the bed and walked out of the room. Another guest said he didn't know if he awoke during the night to a cat on his chest staring at him with paisley eyes or if he just dreamed it. She said she's heard the noise that sounds like a cat or a small animal jumping off the bed in the room above her room at night. So, at least they don't have... And it's, she said they don't have a mouse problem in the house. Even with a ghost cat, there's still no mice problem.
Ghost mice.
This is like perfect parashare material. Just everything that this owner was so good in writing up. She said also early on there was a lot of light flickering, which they attributed to bad wiring because, you know, the age of the house. She said, however, after the whole house had been rewired and the electricians came back several occasions to check everything, it became apparent that there was no electrical explanation for the flickers that continue to this day. The flickering light seems to seem to happen more to me than to others, and it makes her a little crazy. Let's see.
I think the other one that's real interesting is the spiritualist and...
Yeah.
They had brought into, and it was actually this room that we're sitting in, where there was a woman here who was very fascinated by all the new appliances within
the ghost.
Right, and she had mentioned the initials AL, and I think that came. They then matched that back with the previous owner, which I can't remember the person's name, but
Lemming or something.
Right, it matched perfectly with the woman's name, and they had problems with the stove that would turn on and off by itself, so and the door they claimed to hear. Opening and closing, so some interesting things in this room right now.
Yeah, now hopefully we'll get a glimpse of that. I mean, if we can get a picture of it, better, but yeah. Now, you know, I'm not a big fan of, like, people always say, well, why don't you have psychics on investigations, and yet, I don't know if you caught Oprah the other day. She had on John Edwards, and she had on Alison Dubois, and, I guess, I don't know if you know this, but that show Medium is based on Alison Dubois' experiences and stuff. And it was interesting to see her interviewed, Alison, and to find out she was, like, has a criminal justice background. I mean, she wasn't someone that was on the fast track to being a psychic, you know? I mean, she really was just set on having a, I guess what you call a normal life, except for when she was younger. And she said a voice kind of told her to move her bed, and she moved it. And, like, within the hour, this truck of a drunk driver came crashing through the wall, and it would have killed her. As it is, it just missed her, she said, but luckily she had moved the bed out of the way. And, but, you know, seeing people remarkable like Allison and John Edwards, yeah, if I had them on a ghost investigation with me, great. You know, if they're going to turn around and start giving me names and things that I can verify, but... Now, in this particular case where the homeowner had this psychic come in and she saw this apparition of this woman in the kitchen who was kind of, I guess, what, like, dumbfounded from all the electronics and,
right.
Yeah. But to give the initials and at least the initials synced up with something, that's a good hint, you know? I mean, that's pretty good, but otherwise, it doesn't really help you much, you know? Like, anyway, so they've had a full-body apparition experienced by a couple of the kids who were staying here one time, and They were very upset, these young girls. They said there was like this gypsy woman in the backyard who just appeared through the fence and was yelling at them, and she had big hair pulled back and everything, and it really frightened the kids. So they've had some amazing activity here. The water running and turning on and off, lights turning on and off, the doors opening and closing, and then hearing like something jumping off the bed, which is probably the ghost cat. And I don't know, what else was she talking about in here? She's got a lot of stuff in here.
There was the voice of the girl coming from the basement, which was...
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty frightening. I think it said something like, come get me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man sitting at the table here. So, you know, we'll send Brian down to the basement later.
Yeah, that's right. Right where where Ron and I are sitting, our backs are to the basement door where this gentleman was sitting at the table. And you're right, he heard the words, come get me. So they've had... And that whole window thing in the one bedroom, the woman who put her toddler down for a nap and she pulled the door to and then it locked. And she knew the windows were locked because she made sure of that before she left her child alone in the room. And she's like freaking out because the door locked and she couldn't get in there. And her friend's like, well, I'll climb out this window and go to the other window and I'll open it. And she's like, no, the windows are locked. But when the woman climbed out on the roof and went to the window where the toddler was, the window just opened right up. She was able to climb in and open the door. And weird.
Yeah, even the previous owner had come back to the house to ask the new folks here, had they seen the ghost cat. So there was some connection back to the previous owner for that cat, too. So it's been around for a while, that one.
And I'm a cat lover, so I'll be anxious to see if the cat like picks up on that and comes around. And then the one electrician saw the rocking chair on the back porch moving back and forth on its own.
Right.
So there's... excuse me. Sorry about that. It's been a long day. But yeah, a lot of neat stuff taking place here. So hopefully tonight we will capture some of this and be able to post it on the website. I did promise the owner that if we got anything worthy of posting, that we would just say a house in Cape May, and she said she'd be cool with that. She just doesn't want the address and doesn't want a lot of, you know, people bothering and stuff. This is like their home away from home, so we have to respect that. Oh, that was the spiritual's name, Gail Ferrace from the Villas. I don't know where that is, but, yeah, and the initials, one of the owners during the 1800s was Ann Leeming, so.
And lots of interesting stuff.
Yeah, sure. This was a good one. This is why we decided to make this an all-nighter, because I don't know if you've noticed, but nowadays with the cell phones in such rampant usage, it's clogged the airwaves even more, making it seemingly harder for the spirits to communicate, I think. It's just jamming the airwaves, so you have to wait even later now for most of the people to go to sleep and shut their cell phones off, which is pretty much, it's narrowed it down to like between 12 and 3 a.m. is when you can get, you know, a clearer channel, basically, and more activity to document. So, anyway, so that's it for our parashare while we're here on investigating, and if we do get any EVPs, maybe we'll even have one of the ghosts chime in while we're doing the show tonight.
Let's hope.
That would be cool, you know. I mean, we're here in the kitchen. I mean, if that one ghost freaks out over a refrigerator and a stove, think of what...
My laptop.
Yeah. All these wires everywhere, and me with these stupid earphones on. I mean, you know. So, anyway. You want to move on to News of the Weird?
Let's do that.
Okay. So here's News of the Weird. I need a break. Give me 1 second. Let me just take a swig of water. You can keep recording. Ron, chime in. Here, do some News of the Weird.
Okay, we're going to do News of the Weird. This is Janelle Ryan of San Antonio last year began selling choice human embryos. That's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Ready for prospective mothers to implant after having chosen from Ryan's catalog describing the contributor's education, attractiveness, and medical history. It's like... kind of like shopping, you know,
the QVC of the ovary factory.
It's like harmony with embryos.
Yeah.
they're saying we're just trying to help people have babies. She told the Washington Post in January, at less than cost for a full in vitro procedure, since she has established the risk of failed fertilizations. It says here, she said a biotechnist said, is that right? Bioteacher.
Oh, bioethicist.
What is that?
Someone who studies the ethical issues of biology.
Oh, thank you.
I think.
Okay.
But sounds good.
I'm just a computer guy, so I didn't know that one. It's like you're ordering a computer from Dell.
Yeah.
See, that one I can understand.
Yep.
Ryan has said this does not take custom orders. So I guess you get what's in the catalog.
Yeah, you can't basically say, you know, I want him to be 6'2", blue eyes, blonde hair. I want this
on
that.
You get no maintenance.
Right.
No, yeah.
No virus,
no tech support.
No virus protection.
Yeah.
Right. No anti-phishing software. So that's the first news of the word weird. And it says here, who wants an ugly, stupid kid? So I guess that's not in the catalog. So that's our first one. I'll let you take over the remaining news of the weird.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I don't want to scream at people here. The school system in Hagerstown, Maryland, issued a written reprimand in December to the parents of a 5-year-old kindergarten boy who had pinched a classmate's buttocks, terming his behavior sexual harassment. Said his dad, he knows nothing about sex. There's no way to explain to him what he's been written up for. I mean, think about it. I mean, the kid pinched a girl's... but they don't even say if it was a girl's butt. They just said it was a classmate's butt. So, we don't know. But in any event, I mean, I'm sure a 5-year-old wasn't thinking in terms of, let me sexually harass you. This is getting bizarre. I mean, you know... Also in December, the principal of a preschool in Belmead, Texas, issued an in-school suspension to a 4-year-old boy after he hugged his female teacher's aide with his face in her chest, which was termed sexual contact and/or sexual harassment. Through following complaints, the offense was changed to inappropriate physical behavior.
Lucky kid.
I mean, you know.
Especially if your teacher's Dolly Parton.
Brutsky! Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sorry, but there's some people who are letting, who are, let's say, breastfeeding, and they're picking up kids who are walking around, talking, reciting the alphabet, and sticking them on their boob and feeding them lunch, and it's like, in a public place, no less. It's gross. I'm sorry, I just can't get with that. That's gross, but then those are probably the same people that turn around and say, oh, well, this student hugged me and his nose went and grazed my nipple and it's sexual contact. I mean, give me a break. You know, what is wrong with this? There's just too much, I don't know. So in September, according to sheriff's officials in Buffalo, New York, Thomas Montgomery murdered a 22-year-old, well, this is good. Not that it's good that he murdered somebody. Murdered a 22-year-old workplace colleague in a love triangle involving a West Virginia woman. Except that 2 of the 3 triangle characters were non-existent. Wait till you hear this one. Montgomery, age 47, was pretending to be a young Marine in an online conversation with the woman, 45 years old, who was pretending she was her 18-year-old daughter. The murder victim had also struck up online conversation with the woman, apparently making Montgomery jealous. But the victim, ironically, was the only one in the triangle who wasn't someone else.
Okay.
You gotta love it.
In January, a hospice in Britain run by Sister Frances Dominica approved the wish of a 22-year-old man born with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Well, anyway, he wanted to lose his virginity before he died. All right, so he's 22 years old. He's got this weird muscular dystrophy thing going on, and he's like, I don't want to die with cherry intact. You can't blame him. So the Douglas House Hospice arranged for a prostitute to visit him at his family's home. And the man said afterward, it was not emotionally fulfilling, but the lady was very pleasant. That's so British, isn't it?
Is that covered under health insurance?
You know, it should be. That's like hospice
care. It's like medical
marijuana. Yeah. Now here we go. I love this. Stupid criminals. Nicholas Raber, 19, was arrested in Annapolis, Maryland in December for punching a police officer and dashing up a flight of stairs after yelling, "You'll never catch me!" The officers were aware that the upstairs exits were locked and so waited patiently for Raber to come back down and be handcuffed.
Jesus.
Sorry, I'm getting the coffees now from freezing to death in here. Anyway, so...
Where's the beef?
New York State food inspectors are having trouble keeping up with the illegal importation and sale of uninspected exotic meat. For the city's immigrant population, including bush meat and meat from endangered species, according to a December Associated Press report, inspectors found, among other items openly displayed in New York City storefronts, armadillo and iguana meat, cow lungs, smoked rodent, and an unidentified fish paste, along with crates of turtles and tubs of bullfrogs, and occasionally an endangered gorilla and chimpanzee meat. Ooh, yum! Mm. KFC, watch out! I don't know if you can compete with that. And anyway, let's flash back to Christmas, shall we? The recent traditional Christmas nativity play at St. Stephen's Church in Tonbridge, England, centered on music from the Beach Boys, with Mary turning into a surfer girl to sing God Only Knows, and the three wise men portrayed as Brian, Carl, and Dennis Wilson performing such favorites as Fun, 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 and Good Vibrations, according to a December... I don't know, whatever this report is. And said the pastor, nativity plays can just be a bit dull. This made it more realistic. Now, yeah, I guess. You know what? We did Bob Rivers on our shows. You know, we played the Bob Rivers tunes. And, hey, you know, he warped and twisted some standard Christmas carols and to our advantage. So why not have the three wise men singing Fun, Fun, Fun?
Yeah. I don't see a problem with it.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I used to sing, "We three drunks from Omaha are," you know.
But now look at you.
Spending Christmas Eve in a car. But anyway, so why not? They might as well sing Fun, Fun, Fun. So that's it for News of the Weird.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming to Gettysburg July 20th to 22nd, 2007, at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit will be close to 3,000 square feet of space, where the paranormal community will come together toward excellence in the field of study as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zaffis, Mark Skuerman, Mark Moran, Jeff Belanger, Charles Ames III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-hosts will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops, take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Jane Doherty, psychic medium. All details are at the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site www.ghostworldconference.com with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or e-check. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC with sponsorship by X-Zone Radio.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hey, welcome back to The Deadline. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week you were asked, what is the name of the female ghost seen looking out the upstairs window towards Raritan Bay, the spy house? The answer is Abigail. Okay, I'm sure we'll have a winner on that one. That's pretty easy. Now, this week's haunted trivia has a skill level of somewhat challenging. Here you go. Said to be the basis of the story of Rosemary's Baby, Jane Addams, a social reformer who ran a home for unwed pregnant women in Chicago, welcomed in a strangely disfigured infant in 1913. Some versions of the story say the infant was that of a married couple, and the husband had torn down a religious picture his pregnant wife had hung up while exclaiming, "I'd rather have the devil in this house than any religious decorations." He got his wish, as the baby was born with pointed ears, cloven hooves, horns on its head, and even a tail. What is the name of this house that the baby was surrendered to for Jane Addams' care? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll receive the Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt. It's a beautiful little black cotton t-shirt with the gold lettering and our logo of Inspector Ghost O on the front, and it says Junior Ghost Hunter and Boo on the back. So, again, don't forget, too, about Ghost World Conference. I can't stress that enough. Check out www.ghostworldconference.com and make sure you register and book your hoteling and at the Gateway Wyndham in Gettysburg, because it's going to be really cool. And don't forget about the buddy rate. $85 gets you in the door if you're a member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, and I can verify your membership if you email me at laurah@njghs.net. The $85 buddy rate is good up until April 30th, 2007, so make sure you get in on that. Stay tuned to the website, which is www.njghs.net for the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, and sign up for the NJGHS Yahoo groups. The link is right there on our homepage. Again, if you want to become a member and participate in investigations like the one we're on tonight, it's only $20 lifetime. You can PayPal from the site, or you can snail mail a check payable to Ghost Hunters for $20. Include your name, address, and telephone number and email address if you have it. And you can snail mail that to Ghost Hunters, P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Okay, so that's $20 for lifetime membership, and that gets you the buddy rate for Ghost World Conference. It lets you participate in on-site investigations and cemetery hunts, and you also get 10% on the Llewellyn books that we sell. So it's worth it. Okay, anything else, Brian?
No. Ready to investigate.
Anything else, Ron?
No, just thanks for letting me sit in.
Oh, well, thank you for being here and being part of the investigation. This is very exciting.
Well, listen, I think Ron should briefly mention how the certification was.
Yes, yes. Tell us about the certification program at Eastern State.
Well, how much of a wonderful trainer I was.
You were a fantastic trainer, actually. It was
like fishing for compliments, huh, Brian?
It was a very good night to for everyone there. I think we went through the session of learning a lot about the tools we were going to use that night, and really spent the next couple hours really exploring the properties and exploring the place, and it was a really good time. I actually want to get back to there to do a follow-up myself, because there were some interesting things that I found coming out of there. So it was a really good night, really good experience.
Yeah, I'm glad you were our first team. We have the next team going out March
31st.
Brian's in charge of that one, too.
Don't worry, your time's coming.
I know, because we may end up having two teams to go at one time. So if we have a second team that has to go that night, then I'll be there, to take that team. But
well worth the time, for sure.
And the book was helpful too, right?
Yep.
Ghost Tech.
Yep, very good.
And that's by Vince Wilson, so also who will be at Ghost World Conference. And so that's great. Yeah, I'm glad we do have more. We have two other people registered to start another team for the Eastern State certification, but I need two more. So right. If I don't have two more people to make, the foursome, I can't dispatch that team yet. So they're on standby. But we do have the foursome going out for the 31st that Brian's leading. So that's good. Okay. So that said, don't forget, stay tuned to the website. And if you want to register for the Certified Paranormal Investigator certification from the NJGHS, there's a certification page on our website, and it gives you all the details and allows you to pay through PayPal, or you can send in a check for that as well. Okay, so check that out at njghs.net. Thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And special thanks to our guest this evening and our investigator here on site, Ron Armstrong. And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song, The Dance of the Dead. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.